Hey East Meets West listeners, in this week's episode, Albert and I take a deep dive into Temu, a rising star in the US e-commerce space and sister company to China's e-commerce giant Pinduoduo. We discuss Temu's unique business model and what sets it apart from other players in the Western market. We also examine Temu's success and what it means for the future of e-commerce. As always, keep listening and enjoy. Welcome to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about understanding Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. My name is Dan. Joining me, as always, from Astral Ventures, Albert. How are you doing?
Dan, I'm going good. Just spent a couple of days in Canberra for Easter, which is nice. See the family, see some friends. Came back, had a day off here. It's just good. So feeling refreshed. How are you?
Very, very nice. I think we've done the reversal because I'm now back in Canberra. Spent the long weekend over in Wollongong area. Very, very nice. Very, very chilly. But let's get stuck into this week's episode, Albert. Back to our roots. You know, this isn't going to be a full-on company breakdown, but we're really going to focus in on Temu, which is a sister company of Pinduoduo, a company that we have covered before. Check out that episode if you haven't. Also, somewhat similar, I think, in theme to Wish, also a company that we've covered in the past. You can check out that one as well. But Albert, let's start with, you know, what is Temu?
Yeah, this is really interesting. Temu is the US or the Western subsidiary of the Chinese business Pinduoduo. And like Dan said, there's an episode. Sure, Dan will link it in the show notes because he's pretty good like that. If you want a really deep breakdown into Pinduoduo, it's effectively the same business, but targeted at a Western audience. So what Temu is, it's a social commerce platform. Their tagline is shop like a billionaire. I'm not sure, Dan, if you saw their Super Bowl ads.
Super Bowl ads. Yep.
But yeah, shop like a billionaire. They're like an online marketplace that sells ultra low cost items. When I say ultra, I mean very, very, very low cost items. I think if anyone's listening to this, stop the recording right now, go to your phone, download the Temu app and just have a look at it.
Albert, if you're going to do a call out like that, I'll have to put a referral code so that we get some credits for Temu. But I think a good place to start as we break down is yes, it's like Pinduoduo, which, you know, we really have to start with, well, what are the basics of Pinduoduo and what can we then see in Temu? Now, Pinduoduo started as an agriculture e-commerce marketplace in China, helping farmers sell their products direct, so cutting out the middle person, which makes the price of those goods cheaper. Now, as we sort of see that develop in China, in Pinduoduo, it's combining this social, really engaging platform where you kind of have these group buys where family and friends can team up to buy goods in a bulk order, which then again drives down the price. And then combined with that, you have these sort of gimmicks, gamification, where you log in, plant trees, you get credits, you get discounts, get coupons. All of this has driven Pinduoduo to be, you know, wildly successful. As many active users as Alibaba, over 700, almost 800 million active users. The question though, Albert, is why are we seeing this now trend towards the West? Why has Pinduoduo decided to open up Temu? Are the parallels going to come across the pond in a different culture and a different setting, do you think?
Yeah, so some of those features that you've talked about don't exist yet in the Temu app. You know, exactly. Right now it's still very like, I want to say kind of FOMO-esque, like when you look at it and what they're trying to build with Pinduoduo is like a virtual bazaar, like here's the deals, You're really trying to emulate being in a marketplace. And when you look at the Temu app, you can see, you know, they're really prompting you to buy something, free shipping today in the next X number of hours, or up to 90% off. Or if you buy this now, you get, you know, 50% off. So they're really pushing you to buy something quickly. I think the reason why they're looking to launch now is because this is a kind of a business that thrives on the environment that we're in right now, which is like a high inflationary environment. So when the cost of goods globally is rising and supply chains are becoming a bit more restrictive, people are turning to lower cost options. And you can see that. We've obviously had this debate before on the pod, Dan, but people are looking at cheaper goods, and Temu is an avenue for people to still get the products they want at a much lower cost. So I think this is the perfect timing for Temu to go all in, or Pinduoduo to go all in on the Western market.
The other reason I think they're going into the Western market is the other half of why Pinduoduo has been success, is that integration of social media, which is where we've coined that term social commerce. The launch of Temu in the United States and also in Australia has coincided with a really big push on TikTok and some of these other social media outlets, where essentially you're teaming up with these influencers, providing them incentives where if they're promoting the product, the platform, they can use a referral code. The more people who use that referral code gives you credits. And so you're getting this influx of people, not huge influencers, but just sort of regular people of small or ordinary followers of friends and family saying, look, I've just got these Lenovo AirPods, these kind of knockoff Apple AirPods for free because they're just using credits, you know, where the friends, you've just got this circle of friends all referring each other and you all get sort of $50 to play with and buy something with that for free off Temu. Really interesting gimmick. When you talk about the cash burn of startups, Albert, it's usually all these marketing costs that they're incurring. No doubt Temu's got a pretty hefty bill after paying for a Super Bowl ad. But this idea of them using social media somewhat for free to galvanize a following, making it the most downloaded app in the last couple of months. It only opened in the store, App Store, in September, now been downloaded over 24 million times. It's definitely a success. The question for me, Albert, is it going to be sustainable? What do you think about their like marketing push that they're doing this differently from other e-commerce platforms in the West?
Yeah, I think the marketing push is such a salient point. If you go to the Temu website, they've got two types of affiliates. There's like the sign-up affiliate where anyone can be that. Sorry, I should have said that. We'll put in the Fresh Capital referral code. It's $5. We get a little $5 kickback. Maybe we'll also link in our favorite kind of podcast items or the best items we've seen during our Temu research, because we get a 20% off kickback for every That's order true. Through our affiliates. So, you know, it's a pretty nice clip. But I think you're so right around the social media aspect. You know, you've got these viral loops in things like TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube, etc. And I think it just creates this opportunity for Temu to really embed itself in social media as this like social commerce platform, and then continue to grow from there. They've got this virality. They've got weird products. We've seen it with Wish. We've seen it already with Pinduoduo and Amazon. I'm sure that this is the perfect timing for them.
Can I start poking some holes in it, Albert?
Oh, I mean, I'd love to poke some holes in it. Let's do it.
So the first one I wanted to highlight is there's a very different social media environment in the West compared to in China. China has WeChat, which really kind of facilitates this sharing of links, group buy culture, getting everyone involved. Don't really have that in WhatsApp in the West. And I think there is a bit of a concern about privacy, no doubt, obviously with TikTok, the sharing of data, information, even more so if now it's collecting people's spending habits. What do you see? How do you see that playing out with Temu in America?
Look, I think you're right. And there's probably an evolution based on like age demographics. And I think younger demographics are more likely to buy things off social media. They're more likely to click through different affiliate links. They're probably more spontaneous when it comes to online purchasing. I think a lot of the older generation, and even our generation, like the millennial generation, will probably be hesitant to use social commerce in the way that, say, the Chinese millennials do. And so I think as kind of the younger Gen Z, et cetera, Gen Alpha, everyone who comes after us pushes through, I think this is going to be something that they pick up, because it's something they're probably already doing, sharing through Snapchat, sharing through Instagram messages. And so this is just an extra avenue that becomes hopefully frictionless in order for Temu to succeed in the West.
This is so true, because what came to mind is I've got this grad at my firm at the moment who's been sharing me these links referral codes for stock trading platforms. And he's like, look, this is free money. If you sign up with my code, we both get $60. And, you know, he's right in that demographic you're talking about, Albert, where they're looking for deals. They want to leverage their networks, their friends to, as he says, it's free money. And that's kind of the approach that Temu has, where people are asking, you know, code for code, helping each other out because it's free money during this promotion period.
Yeah. I think it's also behavioral. Like, but the people who are of our age and a bit older who are listening to this have grown up in a way that we've been selective about our online personality, our online brand, and our online behavior because we were learning about the internet. And if you're, you know, significantly younger, if you're a Gen Z or you're 18 or 15 or whatever, like you haven't had to adapt your behavior to the internet. The internet is something you've known your entire life. And so it's natural for you to share links like that in the way that we probably would share the same thing, but in person or over like other channels, because they haven't had to worry about like, is this a scam? What's the security risk? Or like, where's the money going to? They're just naturally accustomed to this kind of commerce and sharing because they just haven't had to go through the same hoops that like us did when we were thinking about first online shopping, if you remember that. Like the idea of putting your card into a payments gateway online was not something that people were comfortable with for a very long time.
And that's what spawned PayPal. You know, that was basically the thesis for it. But if we're talking about other big American companies, Albert, Amazon, you know, how's that affected by Temu? How does it interact with Temu? What do you think the dynamic there is?
Yeah, this is super interesting because both Amazon and Temu have a really good supply chain and a very well-oiled supply chain. So Temu is leveraging what Pinduoduo's done with their supply chain. And obviously, from like China and Korea into the US takes a bit longer. I was looking at like Ozbargain to see what people had experienced, and like average delivery time in Australia is like 5 to 7 working days, which is, you know, a couple of days longer than Amazon's 2-day, even 1-day delivery. They can really take the playbook from you know, China and push that here. That's difficult, but then they can offer a competing service in terms of like convenience. I think the other thing that's worth calling out is just like the product types. So a lot of the stuff on Temu are kind of white labeled. They're really like third party marketplace, you know, like Lenovo that you mentioned, but a lot of it is just like random things that are made in Chinese factories. So I might pause here and get your take on it, Dan, as to like whether buyers are going to want to buy something significantly cheaper and white labeled versus something that they're more accustomed to that might be a bit more expensive.
There's an interesting calculus that I think will go on in consumers' minds here, because we had this discussion offline, Albert. I think you're 100% right. If you're a price sensitive consumer, then, you know, an extra couple of days to get delivery from Temu as opposed to Amazon, I don't think that's going to stop you from buying from Temu. But what about the quality of the product? If you start to realize that these things you're buying from Temu are breaking after a couple of weeks, then you start might thinking, oh, well, actually, I'll get my product from Amazon because in the long run, it's going to be better. Add to that, you know, there's been lots of reports of people ordering from Temu and the product just not arriving. And I think that's an issue of when you've got, you're essentially just this third-party platform. You're relying on the manufacturers and supply chain to send the products themselves. You don't have that control. And so without that control, you have that variability of consumer experience. Again, if you're not getting the product, then that might push you to something like Amazon, which is a little bit more reliable. Whether that evens out over time, I suspect it will. You know, Amazon has had all of this time to vet their vendors, essentially build up great, you know, reviews, et cetera, and then weed out the chaff. Temu has just launched a couple of months ago. They're still doing that process. So I expect the consumer experience to get better over time. But it's multifaceted. You know, consumers aren't just going to look at the dollar sign. They're going to think about reliability. They're going to think about delivery time, quality of goods. And on average, I think Temu is going to last a little bit. People are going to give it time. But I'd be really curious to see if it's still going strong in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I think it also depends on like people's behavior and their ability to like suspend disbelief about a particular product. So like I'll give you an example of a few things I've looked at Temu. So I'm trying to buy a robot vacuum cleaner. And so really, it's actually quite difficult. Reviews are always mixed. So on Amazon, there's one I like that's like $800. On Temu, there's a robot vacuum cleaner that's highly reviewed. I'm sure the reviews are fake though. That's $88. And so I'm like, am I willing to spend what is effectively 10% of the robot vacuum cleaner? It's got reviews that are pictures. So it looks like someone's actually bought them. You know, they're not like really generic, no comments, no picture reviews. There's actually pictures and comments. And all the pictures look relatively different as videos of an action. So I'm like, would I spend, you know, $80 to try Temu and get a discount on this robot vacuum cleaner? And maybe it's 50% as good as the one on Amazon, but it's a tenth of the price. And so maybe there are people who are kind of in similar positions who are looking at, say, towels, and you can buy a towel on Temu for, you know, a couple of dollars versus a towel that's maybe $30 or $40 at Sheraton or Amazon or whatever. So I think it depends on people's ability to suspend disbelief about the quality of the product and buy something from Temu and take that risk. And I think now more than ever, people are wanting to do that because the cost of living has gone up.
I really actually love how you went through that almost consumer journey where you're talking through your mindset as you're reviewing whether you're going to make the purchase. Because I think that shows we're in a different mindset, Albert. We're in a different place. Because I think the Gen Z is saying, oh, I've been given this by my friend. My friend is vouching for it. I'm helping my friend. We're both going to get a discount together. We're going to get these credits. Because part of the consumer journey and thought process of buying is if I'm recommended by someone else to buy this product, exponentially that increases the likelihood that you'll buy that product. You know, and all marketers know this. Person-to-person referrals is one of the best ways of converting people. And I think that's why such a part of Temu's success is this social commerce loop. If they can get their friends to promote the product to other people, I think they're going to get you over that hump, Albert, of buying the product.
Well, I mean, I don't want to use robot vacuum cleaners as a specific example, but I could have 10 robot vacuum cleaners versus one robot vacuum cleaner of Amazon for at the same price, right? And maybe that just means I've got like 10 really crappy robot vacuum cleaners doing a half job in my apartment versus one really good one. Or maybe I've just got like an army of robot vacuum cleaners in like different parts of my apartment. And so, you know, maybe the social element is missing at the moment because the social buying aspect, the gamification, hasn't been built into the Temu platform. No doubt that is coming, but I guess I want to understand, like, based on different age demographics, what's going to be the lever that gets people to go from Amazon or bricks and mortar to Temu.
All right, Albert, let's talk about future of Temu. What's your prediction for the success of Temu?
Look, I don't want to go on a tangent straight away and not answer your question. But super interesting that like in the US, this has been like the number one app in the US App Store for like the last 6 months, 7 months, which is crazy. But the other top apps in the App Store are also Chinese, TikTok and an app called CapCut, which is also by ByteDance. So it's pretty interesting to like see this hammer go down on TikTok, but you still have two other apps that are trending, you know, top five or top three that are also Chinese apps. I think the future of Temu is really dependent on like the things that we've been talking about, which is like buyer behavior and whether they can take market share away from not only online, but bricks and mortar. Like in Australia in particular, people still love going to the shops. I'm not sure how quickly that changes because as soon as COVID like dissipated or, you know, as soon as people got vaccinated and shops opened, people still flock back to the shops, even though Amazon is like, 1 day, 2 day delivery, iconic is same day delivery. So people love shopping in person in Australia. And so Temu is up against a pretty big challenge.
I think it's a huge challenge. You know, for me, the key performance indicator for them is the number of daily active users, you know, not monthly active users. I think this is one of those apps where they need people checking it every single day. So they get into the funnel, they see the countdowns, 1 hour left for this promotion, et cetera, et cetera. They're checking every day because some of these products, you know, they're those kind of impulse buys, which you don't really need, but you're kind of saying to yourself, it's $1, it's $2. Why not? I'll purchase it. So I think they need people on the app always. And this goes down to their social media performance, all of that, which I think is going to be affected by the anti-China sentiment. And all those conversations, particularly happening in the US, but also in other countries at the moment. So for me, I'm skeptical. I think it's a really interesting time to launch because we're seeing Albert, you know, we just heard that Milk Run, an Australian startup, has shuttered today. You know, all these startups which kind of cash burn their way through a lot of marketing spend. And because we're now going to that high inflation environment, it's much harder to get that free money from your investors, et cetera, in. It's an interesting time to launch a product which to me relies heavily on marketing. So I'm skeptical on multiple fronts.
Yeah, I think I'm also pretty skeptical. I think, you know, if you listen to the Pinduoduo episode, my reasons for being a bit bearish on Pinduoduo are basically the same as Temu. Like, I don't like low gross margin businesses. I don't like businesses that are like low value, or like people are buying the product because of, you know, they're cost sensitive or price sensitive, sorry. And so they're reverting to like not the best product or not the product they want, but the product that's like cheapest that fits a particular purpose for them. And so to me, it is hard to like really believe that this is going to be a long-term business, especially when you layer what you've spoken about, which is like they do burn a lot of cash. But I think it is a pretty interesting move nonetheless. And, you know, it's just kind of funny.
Well, I think the best thing, this is e-commerce done differently. You know, we talked offline about Shein, another e-commerce provider in the West, which operates pretty similar to Temu, but not quite on that same level of, I think, social engagement that Temu is. I told you this offline. I think that Temu, Pinduoduo is the future of e-commerce, but this is not what we're going to be using 10 years from now. This is version 1.0. And I think this is going to start pushing the e-commerce platforms like Amazon in really fun, exciting directions, which will be the future of e-commerce.
Yeah, I think... I guess I'm also just like, I want to believe that what is happening in some of these platforms are going to get adopted into other like e-commerce platforms, like whether it's eBay or Amazon or within retail stores or like traditional brands e-commerce offering. But that hasn't happened yet. And some of these features exist and have existed for a long time in China. And so I just don't know where the buying habits have shifted and whether they're only going to shift as, say, Gen Z become older and become more prominent.
All right, Albert, anything else?
Look, we're going to throw in a link to the robot vacuum cleaner. Anyone's looking for one? If we get 5 people to buy one, then I'll get a free one because it's 20% off. I get the little kickback. So thank you to everyone who's looking for a robot vacuum cleaner. I'll get Dan to put the highest rated robot vacuum cleaner that's less than $100 in our show notes. Dan, any call outs, any free products you want? I can quickly have a look through Temu.
No. I think ASIC can go after you, Albert, for this plug. I don't know if it falls afoul of any rules and regulations, but I'll leave that all to you, all for the price of a robot vacuum cleaner.
Look, I mean, Mother's Day is coming up. They've got up to 90% off Mother's Day gift, which is actually crazy when you think about it. But yeah, I would highly recommend everyone to check out just the Temu website to see how different it is compared to other traditional kind of e-commerce or website fronts, just to see like what this experience actually looks like.
All right, Albert. Let's finish up there. Thank you for listening to the East Meets West podcast about Asia Tech and how Asia Tech affects the world. Subscribe, support the pod, follow us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, and wherever you listen. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week. See ya.